It's time now for our second segment of Church and State, representing the affairs of the state.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is KELB 100.5 FM. Our studio is located here at Heritage Square, 113 Williamsburg Street in Lake Charles, Louisiana. We also have an affiliated station, KEBL 105.5 FM. They're located at Parkview Baptist Church, 1623 Picard Road in Sulphur, Louisiana. And as always, you can go to KELBRadio.com. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to start our second segment of Church and State. And I'm now going to turn the microphone over to Brother Michael Forrest in Church and State. Good morning, Brother Michael. You're now on the air, sir.
Good morning, Brother Ray. And we want to wish you a very good morning and hope... hopefully you're staying dry this morning. We have two guests this morning that have been involved in the pro-life movement, and they counsel women that are considering abortions. They're looking at having abortions, and we're glad to say that they are changing minds. And hearts are being changed by the Lord. And we have Jean Lobato with us, who is the director over the New Life Counseling Center on East School Street. And we have Marcia Shakesnyder with us, okay, who is in Life After Choice, okay. And so y'all work together, don't you? Right, right. So let's, I'm just going to open it up with prayer, and then we just want y'all to share about your ministries and everything, what the Lord's doing. Amen. Father, we're so grateful, Lord God. Father, thank you, Father, for last night. Father, thank you for the gathering, Father, at the Civic Center and the courthouse. Father, thank you for the word of life and your truth, Lord. Father, we know, Lord, that your word says, Father, we shall know the truth and the truth shall make us free. And Lord, we thank you, dear God, that, Lord, that many women and men are being set free, Father, because, Lord, they are seeing the truth about abortion and about life and when life begins, Lord God. So, Father, we just ask you to lead us and direct us, Lord, Father, as we do this interview. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, y'all really helped to put this together last night, this March, didn't y'all?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, New Life Counseling has organized this march every year for the past 23 years. So this was the 23rd year that we organized a community effort on the 46th anniversary that the Roe versus Wade decision made abortion legal in our country. Marcia is our previous director of mm-hmm. New Life Counseling.
Uh-huh.
And she is one of the co-founders of the March for Life and the Candlelight Vigil at the mm-hmm. courthouse steps. And her and I have been working on this together year after year to raise awareness in our community uh-huh. about yes. the gravity of mm-hmm. this decision that legalized abortion and how it is hurting men and women. that, you know, they think the abortion choice is just a quick end-all of the problems that they're facing, when in reality, all it does is compound the issues on which they based that abortion and the loss. Then now they have the loss of this child. And over 90% of women and men regret their abortion choice.
Yes, okay. Yeah, just speak in the mic.
So this year, for 20, like I said, this is the 23rd year that we've hosted a local March for Life and candlelight prayer vigil to memorialize the over 60 million babies that have lost their life to abortion in our country. This year, we reached out to Louisiana Right to Life, as well as ABC Crisis Pregnancy Center, to join us in the effort to co-sponsor the event in hopes of expanding community awareness and participation, and then locking arms from denomination to denomination and to say, no matter what our belief is, that we stand firm in the sanctity of human life and the need to protect life from the moment of conception until natural death, and that the laws of our land, that we stand on our the Declaration of Independence, that there be life, you know, the pursuit of the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and being the right to life number one, and that is constitutional.
Yes, amen. Well, Marcia, is there usually this kind of turnout at these? Like we had last night, is there usually this many people that show up for this? Or?
Well, we usually do have a good number of people that show up. I do think last night we had more than normal, which is great. And again, I think that's because we just linked with Louisiana Right to Life and ABC and tried to reach more people. You know, they have contacts and influence where we don't have it yet. So.
Right.
Absolutely, as many people as we can get there. And it was so encouraging.
It was.
To stand on the steps of the courthouse, that platform, and look out and see that many people there taking a stand for life.
Yes, yes. And I know that both of you can give testimonies of women who have literally, they came in, they were for counseling, and they were considering having abortions, and through your counseling and actually showing them a picture of the baby there, a real live baby, that they've actually reconsidered and
absolutely,
and not had the abortion. I mean, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
New Life Counseling is a full medical clinic now, and so
a full medical clinic.
We have ultrasound right on the spot. They can go right in and have an ultrasound right then when they come for that free pregnancy test. Everything we do is free. There is never a charge for anything.
Right.
And so, you know, one of the first things that we try to say to any woman who's in that position is, it's going to be okay. You're not alone.
Right,
and to get them past that initial panic, you know, oh my gosh, I can't be pregnant. This can't be happening, you know. And then to begin to just explain to them every option that is available to them, but the consequences of those options, and present life, no matter how difficult your circumstances may be right now, God is the one that decided to create life.
Yes.
Regardless of how that baby was conceived.
Exactly.
God stepped in and created life. And when we choose to follow God and give that baby life, He provides what we need every single time.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Well, how most of the women that come to you for counseling, How were they finding out about you? I mean,
they're doing an internet search. The majority of them are finding us on the internet when they're searching for pregnancy options or pregnancy resources. And many of them are contemplating abortion because if you look at women who are in their fertile years, they have not known America without the option of abortion. It's been legal for 46 years now. The women that we are, the majority of them that we're seeing that are deciding as to what they want to do with this pregnancy range anywhere from age 15 to 30. The secular world has presented them with, this is an easy way out. You don't have to deal with a pregnancy. Just come. And they sterilize the term by saying termination. I would just like to terminate this pregnancy because of school, reputation, finances, are some of the reasons that they base their decision upon. Well, when they do their search, they find us as a pregnancy resource, and then they come in. We provide, like Marcia said, the free pregnancy testing, and then we counsel them. I mean, we go step by step through the situation it is that they are facing and offer real solutions to each one of those issues that are life-giving, that are life-affirming, that is going to protect her, because it's truly through loving that mother, no matter where she's been or what she has done, to say, we care about you. And whatever it is that you're going through, we're going to give you a hand up. It's non-judgmental. It's compassionate care. And it's strictly confidential. So whatever she has done, she can share safely within the walls of New Life Counseling and know that that information will not go anywhere else. So she feels protected. She feels safe. And there we can gently guide her through whatever it is that she may need. From that, like Marcia said, we've converted to a medical clinic for 2 years now. So we can offer her an ultrasound. We've got Dr. David Darbone as our medical director, and there are six registered nurses that volunteer their time at the center so that she can consult with them. We have also developed and have in full practice a professional mental health arm of the ministry. So we have a clinical psychiatrist, Dr. Jody Guth, who is available for professional mental health counseling, as well as Hannah Ackery. She is a provisional licensed professional counselor. We are the only place that offers free of charge all of these services, but especially mental health care. And then, of course, pastoral care, whatever their denomination is, you know, to be able to say we can refer her to her pastor or to that spiritual director whom she has trust in to share this and to help her through. We also have a program that once they have decided, and the majority of them do, after counseling, we have 92% in 2018 chose life after counseling.
That is that is so awesome.
It is, 92%. And that's over 200 babies.
And, you know, Marcia, many of these women that come to you for counseling, of course, they were conceived outside of wedlock. So this is something they didn't want, they didn't plan, and actually they don't want a baby. But so there are alternatives. I mean there's adoption. There are a lot of people that can have children and and are willing to adopt. So how does that work? Do y'all you know, recommend that, put in the you know, where the baby's not wanted? The adoption.
It's always offered and presented, you know, to them that this is, and there have been many babies that came from clients who walked into New Life Counseling that their mothers did choose adoption. Uh-huh. And those babies are alive and thriving in families today. And,
yeah, that's wonderful.
And that is another thing we offer, not only for just that knowledge of knowing that baby is with a family, that little birth mom has fulfilled and answered the prayers of a couple, you know, somewhere.
Right.
But then what happens to her?
Right.
Then she has that loss. It's a huge, huge sacrifice to place a child. You know, it's a lot different when she's walking in the door thinking, no, I can't do this. I don't have time for this.
Right.
I'm going to lose my scholarship. You know, I can't do this. She doesn't feel, see, you know, anything yet most of the time. So that's not real. To her, that's, as Jean said, the whole language that they will use is, I just have to terminate this pregnancy. I just can't be pregnant. I got to get rid of this pregnancy. The word baby doesn't enter into that
right.
when that's what she's thinking.
Right, right.
At least for the most part. We've seen a trend downward in just the coldness and hardness of heart over the years. And again, based on just what Jean shared a few moments ago, this generation has grown up in a culture of death.
Yes.
Abortion is offered to them just like braces for your teeth. And, it's just a procedure you have, and then that gets the problem out of the way,
right.
and they can go on.
Right.
But for that little birth mom that places a baby for adoption, then she has gone through that pregnancy. She's felt that baby
right.
move and kick. She's gone through labor and delivery, and then she goes home with empty arms. So there again, that is another service that we offer, is first of all free professional counseling
right.
for her, but a group that is just for any infant loss called forget-me-nots.
Uh-huh.
And those moms can come and share their experiences, and when they're having a bad day, we're there to pray with them, to talk with them, to encourage them with
right.
God's word, and to say, we're here for you.
Right.
Whether
right.
it's for 2 months or the next, you know, 15 years, you have friends and a place to come that's going to support you.
Yeah.
And then we just affirm them that,
right.
wow, the most sacrificial love in the world is to do what's best for your child
right.
when you
right.
don't have it. You don't
right.
have what it takes. You don't have
right.
the finances, the emotional stability, educational stability to be able to offer that child, but you will deny yourself and give your child what's best, that's a hero.
Yes.
And so we're there for those moms as well.
Yes, yes. So y'all were really trying, you know, if the mother, even though, she might be young, she mm-hmm. might be a teenager, you're really trying to get her to see that keeping the child, if possible, that would be the best option.
It is.
Because I would imagine some actually regret that they put the child up for adoption, but later on, you know, thinking, that's my child, you know, and actually regret doing that. So I'm sure that y'all share all that and mm-hmm. go over that.
We do. And that's part of the discernment. When she comes in and receives that positive pregnancy testing, and as Marcia and I have talked about, you know, we explore what does abortion look like and what are the consequences emotionally, physically, spiritually. Then also adoption, that you can discern adoption without any pressure throughout the entire pregnancy. She can even interview couples that she might like to place her baby with,
uh-huh.
with non-identifying factors. So
uh-huh.
everyone is totally anonymous, and it uh-huh. provides her a way of feeling comfortable of, wow, is this the couple that I would like to place my baby in their home with?
Right.
And then
uh-huh.
We are her birth mother advocate. We stand by her side through all of that. as she approaches the end of her pregnancy, should she say, you know what, I really feel like I want to do this myself. Right. We support that. There is no judgment. It is to be able to allow the Holy Spirit to work through New Life Counseling, all of us who are there, as well as respecting that birth mother and her family as to what is the best decision. And has God placed this child in her womb that another family can be made whole, or is this a journey for her to become, this child become part of her own family.
Right.
So there is no judgment cast there. It is discernment, and it's just walking the whole process with her and to say, what is in the best interest of this child? If she chooses to parent at the end, we support that, and we will help her, whether it be find a job, continue her education, provide the baby items that she needs. One thing we, another service that we provide are quarterly baby showers. So for all of our mothers who have chosen life, matter of fact, we have one coming up next week, and we ask churches to please partner with us in that. And what we do is have the women of that particular church and men put together a baby shower and just shower these women with love for choosing life. So that's another resource. But getting back to the point, the birth mom, there are times, yes, like she will place. And there are some that look back with regret. And it's being able to say, you have a safe place to come and to share and to grieve. And you have peer counselors. You have professional counselors. You have a medical team that is there to love you through life and to celebrate life.
Yes, yes. Now, what about the men, okay, the boyfriends, okay, that they're the father, and they are trying to get, they want this baby dealt with and everything, and some, a lot of times they're trying to talk the woman into having an abortion. Do they ever come in for counseling?
They do. There are times that they come in with the women. It can be not just boyfriends, but husbands. And people, it's surprising because so many people think a pregnancy resource center is just for teens. Actually, the client's age group that we serve is anywhere from age 9 all the way up to age 60. People have come in for our services. And both married and unmarried. And the male, the father of this child, whether he be a boyfriend, a husband, or somebody who in this culture was, they were just hooked up, where there is no dynamic in relationship, and they can be there trying to coerce this woman into aborting. We do sit and visit and counsel with them. And once again, just to pause and reflect, you are now a dad. And so many of them say, I don't want to be a father. I'm not ready to be a father. And the reality is the minute that baby was conceived, they became a dad. So therefore, what is their obligation to this child?
Okay, well, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. Mrs. Schlafly was a courageous and articulate voice for traditional values and common sense for more than 70 years. Now, continuing that legacy, the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, Ed Martin.
Libraries are supposed to be places of information and growth. They are supposed to be where we send our children to learn and gain the basic academic skills necessary to succeed in our society. However, LGBT advocates have created a stranglehold on these beloved public institutions by starting so-called drag queen story hours at libraries across the nation. At these events, men dressed as women read stories to children that indoctrinate them with the values of the progressive left. The craziest part of this whole situation is that the drag queens are totally open and unapologetic about their plans for your children. When LGBT advocates tried to bring their indoctrination to Lafayette City, Louisiana, they were enthusiastically embraced by the library. However, the parents of Lafayette were not so welcoming. The matter was brought before the city council, where citizens were allowed to voice their concerns. In that public hearing, drag queen Dylan Pontiff explained his motivation behind pushing for the story time was to, quote, groom the next generation, end quote. That was one thing Pontiff and the parents of Lafayette could agree on. The only problem for him was that parents did not want their children to be groomed on politically correct ideology by gender-confused strangers. Despite a strong showing by outraged parents, the council refused to vote against the drag queen's proposal. Instead, council members simply refused to vote on the matter at all, thus blocking the drag queen story hour on procedural grounds without having to actually take ownership for their actions. The left tries to paint parents who are worried about indoctrination like this as kooky alarmists. Stories like this prove liberals only do that because they want to shame parents into handing over their children. Don't let them pull this trick on you. An essential part of the freedom we enjoy as American citizens is the freedom to raise our own children as we see fit. Where governments are responsible for the rearing of children, tyranny and collapse always follow. No one should be able to shame a parent into turning over their children to the czars of so-called tolerance and inclusion.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. Political correctness is no longer simply about restricting speech. This tool for tyranny has led to employees being fired, pastors silenced, small businesses closed, and truth suppressed. Thankfully, the politically correct can't censor the work at PhyllisSchlafly.com. Join us, won't you? At PhyllisSchlafly.com. And thanks for listening to the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is KELB 100.5 FM, along with our affiliated station, KEBL 105.5 FM. And as always, you can go to KELBRadio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to return you back to Brother Michael Forrest in Church and State. Brother Michael, you're now on the air.
Thank you, Brother Ray. And we're so glad to have Jean Lobato with us from New Life Counseling Center, and Marcia Shakesnyder with us from Life After Choice. And this is just a great discussion, you know, because education, I believe, is a key thing. You know, there's so many people that don't know the ins and outs about this, and especially, you know, a young woman that finds herself, she's pregnant and everything, you know, I didn't plan on this. What do I do? Right. So to me, that is just awesome that y'all are having such a great, almost 90% success rate of where these women, they're coming in thinking about abortion, you know, now. They're no longer contemplating that. So y'all have other programs and everything to help these women out. And we were discussing that at the break. I'd like y'all to just continue with that, some of the other things that y'all were doing. Okay. Programs.
Well, it's interesting, Mike. You know, a lot of times the pro-life community gets accused of being pro-birth, that all we're concerned about is the baby. We just want to get that baby here so we can, you know, mark it in our stats.
Right.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
Uh-huh.
And I can give personal testimony to that from both sides as someone who made that horrific, regrettable decision 46 years ago. There was no one to call back. When I called back to the abortion clinic, that, by the way, it was my doctor that referred me there because I was told I would die if I went through with the pregnancy. And it was one of the top, his words were, it's one of the top abortion clinics in the nation. This was in 1972, so it was the year before Roe v. Wade made it legal in all 50 states.
Oh.
I was born and raised in Illinois, and it was not legal in Illinois yet. Mm-hmm. So they sent me to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. When I called back to say something's wrong, there was very heavy bleeding. Mm-hmm. Of course, I was told it's not going to hurt. It'll be a few minutes. You can go on with your life. Nothing could be further from the truth. When I called back, I began to get the questions of, what day did you say you came in? I'm sorry, we don't have any record of you being here. There was no one, no place to turn. No, and of course, no one knew. I actually was married. It wasn't because I was unmarried. Uh-huh. So it was that horrible weight then, and the weight of the sin, the regret, the grief, just a deep grief that I carried for so many years, never told anyone.
Right. Now when you made this decision to do this and everything, were you a Christian at that time?
I was.
You was a Christian
at that time? I was, absolutely, and had no clue what I was doing. Had no clue.
But you did this on the advice of the doctor.
Of the physician. And never knew I was right at the end of 12 weeks gestation. And they kept telling me, you need to hurry. You need to hurry. They called me. Back in those days, it was long distance, you know.
Yeah.
Now we don't even know what that is.
Right.
And I finally just gave in, but had no clue. They gave me no... They didn't tell me a thing about the baby, that it already had a heartbeat, that my baby could already grip my finger if my finger had been placed there.
Yeah.
Her sex had already been determined.
Oh, wow.
She could blink. She could open her mouth.
Yeah, isn't that something?
At 12 weeks.
At 12
tiny.
Weeks.
Tiny. I couldn't see that.
Right.
I didn't feel that. The only thing I felt was nausea, but... You know, I had no clue that it was a real baby.
Yes.
So in my head, in my mind, it was, I have to hurry up and do this before it turns into a baby.
Yeah.
So consequently, just as a little throw-in, when I begged God day in, day out, please, please forgive me. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. And I would beg Him, please give me another chance. I promise you, I'll be the best mom. And, you know, we make all those... agreements, you know, with God. And exactly a year to the month, I had the abortion in March 1972. In March 1973, I conceived my oldest son. And they tried to get me to do the same thing again. My doctor actually was very angry with me that I refused that time. Told me he was more than likely going to be born with all kinds of complications if he survived and if I survived. He is now a pastor in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I have beautiful granddaughters from him.
Right.
So God knows best. Right. I had a more normal pregnancy than anybody that didn't have any physical issue that would give you a normal pregnancy.
Yes.
So that obviously has been my heart and my passion. I carried that secret for 18 years. I never told. Only my mom and his parents knew. Never talked about it. It was hush, hush. Nobody ever talks about it.
Right.
If it's so good for us, if it's such a good option for women, why don't we talk about it?
Right.
We talk about what doctor did our gallbladder surgery, or where we get our hair done, or what nail salon is the best. Why don't we talk about it?
Right.
Because down deep, we know it's wrong.
Right. And of course, you know that God has forgiven you.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know that. You know that the baby's in heaven.
Absolutely.
Do you still deal with that, though? Or
absolutely.
Is that completely gone?
No.
Or do you still, really?
Oh.
You still deal with
absolutely.
Regret?
Absolutely.
Isn't that something?
I will carry that to my grave.
Mm.
And now I know I'm forgiven, 100%. And I wholeheartedly know that God has redeemed that.
Right.
And He has
Amen.
Reconciled me. I stand fully forgiven before Him.
Mm.
And I also stand knowing that my child, I took the life of my child.
Yes.
So that's where my heart was.
Yes.
And that's actually where in 1994, God put His finger on. I was listening to someone on a Sanctity of Life Sunday share a testimony. And as clear as I hear you, I heard God say, now is the time.
Yeah. You know what's remarkable to me is see, like you, Cindy Collins?
Yes.
Who had multiple abortions?
Yes.
Okay. What the devil meant for evil, God's now using it for good.
Yes. That's
I mean, yeah. I mean, the women that God is using you to be 100% life and everything, and to give testimonies. And so look at the babies that are being saved now because of your testimony.
Absolutely.
So God is actually turning all this to the good.
Absolutely. He absolutely
you know,
is.
That is.
Romans 8:28.
Yes. Yes.
All things.
But you know, those that advocate abortion and everything, you know, they don't refer to it as a baby. You know, they say it's a fetus, it's matter, it's tissue. Mm-hmm. But now, with the technology we have, there's little doubt. I mean, you can't say you don't know anymore.
That's
right. I mean, you know, these people, you know, in New York, that they just, you know, passed this law that you can have abortion up to the time, you know, right before the baby's born. I mean, this is so immoral. I mean, the whole thing's immoral, but to pass a law like that.
Yes.
When you know they can't be dumb, they can't you know say we don't know what's going on.
It's horrific and it's barbaric. It is absolutely horrific to think that our nation is killing our babies in the womb, and that we can stand by and say that that's okay. It's not. That's why we had the March for Life last night, was to raise community awareness, and that there's pregnancy resources like ours that will speak truth and wholeness of truth to women and love women through whatever circumstances, whether they've had abortions or not, to say that this is a safe haven where you can come and share your story, and we can problem solve together and provide life-affirming resources for both the women, the men, and the babies.
Right.
That we are family-oriented, that for us to have a healthy society, we've got to have healthy families which to build upon. And isn't Satan, I mean, he's come to steal, kill and destroy. And a baby in the womb is the most pure, innocent, beautiful image of God, that we are made in his image and likeness.
Yes.
And so, of course, he's out to destroy our children and our families.
Yes.
And when you destroy that life in a womb that was conceived between the love of a man and a woman, you are destroying the foundation of everything.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I read a scripture on the last hour of the program. The scripture said that there's six things that God hates. And one of them is the shedding of innocent blood.
Yes.
You know? And of course, we know this is what abortion is, the shedding of innocent blood.
Absolutely.
So God hates this, and I really believe that if it wouldn't have been for the intercession going on and the repentance and people, you know, standing in the gap and saying, God, please forgive us. Please forgive us for what we have done. Because for a long time, the church has just been silent about this.
Yes, they have.
So the church has sinned. We have sinned.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we are guilty for not speaking the truth.
Right.
That's right.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, sometimes we confuse speaking the truth of what abortion is, and saying it loud and clear. But we speak what the procedure is, what it does. But God doesn't hate the person. God doesn't hate the woman.
That's right.
That's where we have to reach out and say, there is no sin too great that he cannot or will not forgive. God doesn't hate the abortionist. Do I believe they're going to stand before God and give an account? You know, in the book of Genesis, the very beginning of time, God makes it clear when Cain slew Abel, and he said, listen, What have you done? Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what God is hearing?
Yeah.
60 million in our nation alone.
60 million.
42 million worldwide in 1 year. 42 million innocent, tiny baby boys and girls. And can you imagine the slaughter on the women and the men who have made that decision? Yeah. And we wonder why we're where we are today in our country.
Yeah. Well, now most nations in the world have legalized abortion.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
Did it start here in the United States with Roe versus Wade, or was it going on?
Actually, abortion has been going on even before the time of Christ.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It has. And okay. It was made legal in our country in 1973.
Right.
Pregnancy resources such as ours began to pop up out of the need to say, women, we can provide you the means you need to choose life, whether it be to parent this child or to place this baby for adoption.
Right.
Our services from that time of inception, because New Life Counseling was formed in 1984 by four Christian people who came together to say, we need to do something and make a difference, because we never thought women would truly be seeking out that choice as a form of birth control.
Right.
Are a means to solve any problem that they may be having.
Uh-huh.
Since that time, we have expanded our resources to the people of our community, recognizing the increased number of abortions that have taken place.
Right.
So as Marcia spoke to, we have Life After Choice for the women who have made an abortion decision and who regret that choice and who are broken from that choice. They can come and receive healing and hope and participate in the Bible studies, as well as have individual counseling available and group counseling.
Yes.
For the women who have had infant loss naturally, miscarriages. So many times women experience miscarriages, and when they go to the hospital and if they were to need a DNC, then their baby is labeled as medical waste, and they grieve for the loss of that child. Mm-hmm. And that, like Marcia said, where are they to go? They can come to New Life Counseling. Mm-hmm. That is what the Forget Me Not group is about, for women who have lost their children naturally,
right,
whether it be through miscarriage, stillborn, maybe a death, a SIDS death, or the placement of adoption, because there is that sacrificial love that they have in their heart that they place that child, but they do grieve the loss of not being able to rear that baby.
Right.
So this is a beautiful place for them to come and to healthily grieve and to be restored,
yes,
that restorative grace.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And I would like to share just a little bit about the Life After Choice ministry.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Because
a
lot
do.
Of people just don't understand what that is, but again, we have a specific Bible study that we use. We actually have two, and sometimes just depends on the group. We have one called Surrendering the Secret, and then one called Forgiven and Set Free. And they are both Bible studies that go all the way back. We start with the conception of that child.
Amen.
What were your circumstances, you know, at
right.
that time of your life? What was your family dynamics,
mm-hmm.
you know? And then we begin to go from there week after week. One lesson builds on the other until we talk about the abortion itself. What made you make that choice?
Yes.
What factors were present? What pressures were you feeling? And then after. And then they go through that whole process of coming to the end and actually being able to say, baby, now, instead of the testimony you heard last night at the courthouse of she wrote a letter, you know, to her child and could call him by name, where all this time it was just for years, even with her husband, she told him that she had had an abortion, but it was never talked about. And it was just something that happened, yet she grieved and felt that loss for so many years. And again, a believer, you know, attending church every Sunday, involved in church, but carrying that, it's like we feel like we're wearing the big red A, you know, and so that's the one place we don't go.
Right.
It has been the greatest privilege of my life, the hardest thing I've ever done, because I relive it every time too.
Right.
And I do the ministry with a whole group of women that, that have come through that ministry themselves and are now in that place. You can't shut them up. They right. want to use their voice to bring right. restoration and to just be able to say to anyone that's broken, you can not only just be forgiven, you can be healed.
Amen.
And there's a difference and set free.
That's right.
And
that's
I always say it has been, I'm just the luckiest person in the world, and not luck, but that I get to sit back and just watch God do a miracle every time. And it's like they'll come in, they can't even look you in the eye most of the time. They walk with their head down. And by the time we've gone all the way through that Bible study, their head is up, they're smiling, they're ready to go share that with other women and men.
Yes.
And that too, I've always said, I have never spoken publicly that I haven't had at least one man come up to me afterwards and say, nobody knows, but so many years ago, or, you know, I paid for my sisters, or I didn't know what I was doing. I gave, you know, and so it affects both men and women.
Yes.
And,
Well, that's awesome. I mean, these you know, Bible studies, you know, and I'm sure that some of these women that probably didn't even go to church and everything, and they leave these Bible studies now. They have a knowledge of God, and even a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're getting saved.
Yes, yeah, they are.
And these Bible,
and, you know,
I mean, that's awesome.
And it becomes as Marcia said, their life, their testimony, that a baby that was aborted, that from that darkness, God has shown His glory, His mercy, His forgiveness, His restoration, His salvation to this soul that is now feeling strong enough and restored enough to go out and speak the truth about what abortion truly does to everyone involved. And therefore, because of their testimony, because of their courageousness to speak what has occurred, other lives are being saved.
Yes.
And so we thank God for that.
Amen.
And, you know, through that, we have another service that we offer at New Life Counseling is a program called Woman 360.
Uh-huh.
And it is the prevention arm of the ministry, because when we go into that room and counsel women for their pregnancy test, many times as we go through all of the various procedures, dynamics of relationship, resources available, they say to us, I never knew these things. I never knew these things about my body and how my body worked.
Right.
So from that, I didn't know. I wish somebody would have told me, otherwise I would have made a different decision. From those women, we have developed a program called Woman 360 so that they will know, so that they will have the education that they need to prevent broken hearts, and it promotes abstinence and chastity and the beauty of the bond between men and women and the sacredness of saving our sexuality, intimacy in marriage.
Yeah. So quickly, you know, this costs money to do all this.
Yes, it
does. So y'all are getting support from, you know, how can people support your ministry?
Financially, we accept, we have never accept state or federal funding. All of the funds that we have received are from individuals and churches within our local community. Uh-huh. We need that support, and God has graced us to expand our territory. We have been able to purchase the property next door to us and add on and to our building and double our size. With that, we have a capital campaign. It's called Expanding for the Expecting.
Okay.
So anybody can mail in a donation made out to New Life Counseling.
Yes.
Our address is 631 East School Street. Another way that they can help is to come and volunteer. We are a volunteer-based organization.
Right.
If listening to us today, if the Holy Spirit is prompting your heart, please come forward and volunteer whatever gift or talent God has blessed you with.
Yes.
We can utilize in the ministry for life.
Amen.
And the other thing is, if you cannot financially undergird us or come in and volunteer, we ask that you please pray for us.
Amen.
Pray for our prayer. Miracles can happen. So I beg the prayers that is the foundation on which we are basing our success. And to God be all the glory.
Marsh, why don't you give us a 30-second prayer for somebody that's listening to this program that's maybe considering abortion. Quick.
Father, we thank you. We thank you that it's no accident who is listening to this program today. And so if there is someone out there contemplating right now, they've taken that test at home and they're scared to death at what the results just showed. Lord, would you just move in on them and surround them with your peace and your comfort and direct them to us where we can be able to help them and just assure them that this little life was not created by them. It was created by you, and that you take care of what you create. And Lord, if there's that woman or man who has made that decision like I did, and even hearing this program, everything around the sanctity of life, the Roe v. Wade decision, there's so much emphasis on it. If they're just dying inside and their heart is breaking, and yet they've never told anyone, they're serving in their church possibly, and yet no one knows.
Yes.
God, would you please speak to them and let them know that you have healing and restoration waiting for them. And send them our way as well. And we thank you, Jesus, that
Lord,
there is no sin too great that you cannot heal and restore and redeem.
Yes.
We thank you for
thank
that.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
Amen.
Jesus.
Thank you for being
thank
with
you,
us.
Thank you, Jesus.
God bless you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you for listening to Church and State on KELB 100.5 FM. It's our pleasure to present special guests to keep the Christian community up to date on what's happening in our local churches and on what's happening